Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the grace, God, and the love that flows in our church. We thank you for the challenges and the tests, God, that come our way, that causes us to prove, God, that you are alive and that your gospel is real. God, that you're doing a work. I pray that you would open our eyes, God, and our ears to hear your truth. God, that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a reality, and we're going to watch a video. Now, it's a little bit later. It's Denzel Washington's commencement speech. I don't know if some of you have heard that before. Towards the end, at the very end, it got a little too prosperity gospel-ish for me. But there were actually some very solid things that he talked about. And one of the things that, you know, when we talk about, you know, church and our lives, and we throw around the word, I think, especially in the evangelical circle, and that word is gospel-centered. We spend a great deal of time trying to explain the gospel, how the message of oneness with God is made available to us, right, through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and how we are now, our identity is new, and that the old is died with Christ, and so we're resurrected to a new life and a new identity. So the idea of the gospel, the idea of oneness, right, as embodied in the word atonement, at one-ment, is the idea that we can be with God. Now, there is the dream, is what I think, you know, Denzel Washington says. There is the idea of the gospel, and then there is the reality of the gospel. And so we're moving from the dream, or this idea of the gospel, and we're now, you know, entering into the reality of what God did. And that's really difficult for a lot of us, right? Because for many of us, if we said, hey, you know, how is your relationship with God? Or, you know, how do you define your faith in some sense? We defined our faith, if I asked, any one of you, how are you doing in your faith? You would describe your relationship between you and God. That's just the way we're wired. So the richness of your relationship with God is in some measure how you define it. And Jesus, throughout Scripture, and the apostles throughout Scripture, he puts a wrench in the whole thing and doesn't allow to do that, right? And Jesus says stuff like, whatever you do unto the least of these, right, brothers and sisters, you have done unto me. You know, if you have something against somebody, you know, leave your gift at the altar. Don't even come to me. And so the depth of our relationship with God, right, can't just be mano el mano. It can't be one-on-one. Can't be. God refuses it. He will not entertain your prayers. He will not hear from you if you have something against somebody. It's just because the gospel and the reason Jesus died isn't just to make you one with people. I mean, with God. It is also that you may be one with one another. Right? And so that we're here. So we can understand that. That's the gospel. And the reality of that is much, much more difficult and complex and nuanced. And, you know, it's a tough, tough thing. And here's the thing, you can't do it by yourself. And we live it every day. Every day, right? So if you say, hey, you know, where do you go to church? You say, I go to, you know, ABC church or XYZ church or whatever church you go to. And you say, well, how's the church? And you'll talk about, you know, how wonderful your pastor is or not so wonderful your pastor is. You'll talk about how wonderful the, you know, the praise music is. Or you'll talk about Sunday school or you'll talk about youth group. Or, you know, you'll always talk. But here's the thing. The measurement of how wonderful the gospel is taking is actually love. And we're going to And, you know, we're entering into that aspect of 1 Corinthians now, 13, and, you know, coming up on it. And so how are you doing? You need to know, look, you know, you don't need to look any further than how loving am I growing? So let me just ask you, how are you doing in your faith? How are you doing in your faith? Are you more loving, right? And we're going to explore that. Are you more loving now than you were, I don't know. I don't even want to go that far that back, because I think it's sad that every year we live and we don't grow in love. That we don't really focus on, like, if that's like a big, big deal, you know what I mean? Like, that's got to be a big deal. You know, who are the people in your lives? And the thing is, like, we're called to grow in that love for them. Man, if you're unfaithful in that and you haven't grown in that, matter of fact, you went the other way. I would tell you what, you have not just grown the other way in your relationship with them. You have grown the other way in your relationship with God, because God will not entertain any notion of a walk with God that does not include, right, your love with people God has entrusted to you. And so when you say, hey, how are you doing? Man, you go right to the center, right to the center. When I was in the Army, right, we had multiple jobs, multiple evaluations. So when you got promoted, right, actually, you know, major, the rank of major is what they call field grade. It's kind of like having tenure, like in, you know, in university. For the most part, if you make major, you know, you stay in and you retire. But the one record that they look at, they hone in on, is your company command. How did you do when you took charge? You know, did you take care of your people? Did you stay on target? Do you stick to the mission, right? Do you know how to take care of the people and the equipment that is over you? Like you could do wonderful staff work. You could have glowing reports. But what they're saying is, if you're not a good leader, and if you don't know how to take care of people and stay on mission, nothing else matters. Like, you flunked that. So most people, we call it like a zinger. Wow. You know, because I might have known Joe all my life. Man, how come he didn't get promoted? I don't know. He's one of the best officers I've ever met. And sure enough, more often than not, and most of the times, you go back to that one record, right, when he was in company command, something happened. Something happened. And sometimes it's not all your fault, but here's the thing about leadership. It's always all your fault. You know what I mean? And so therein lies, you know, like, church, doesn't matter what's going on, right? If you're saying we're growing as a church, it's not numerically. Are we growing in love? Are we growing in love? Are you growing as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a child? You know, are you growing? If you're coming to know God more and more, there's no such thing as I know God better now than I. No, you know more about him. To know him, right, is full of love, right? And so we are able to better do the oneness thing. We're able to now be better at becoming one. Look, we don't have it all figured out. We don't. It's just that there's a humility, right, that life is getting at. If you're in Christ, man, God is doing a number on you to get you to a place, right, so that you get the main thing, right? That the gospel is not a dream. The gospel is the goal. It is the reality. All right, so let's read. We're going to continue, starting with verse 27. We're going to read 12:27, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. There is in the Corinthian church a debate. You know, we're not privy to all the letters that Paul received from the church, but clearly there are issues brewing with the gifts of tongues. There's disorderly conduct within the church, and probably pitting that against prophecy, right? And so Paul is expanding the discussion about gifts. He's now, obviously, he started with are all apostles and prophets. He's talking about office now. Right? So he's talking about the way that God is moving, the Spirit of God moving in the church, right, for a purpose. And he's expanding the discussion, you know, beyond just gifts of prophecy or beyond just the gifts of the tongues. And so he's trying to get them to see the big picture. That's what Paul's doing. And in 31, he says, he ends that chapter, he says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. So what are the higher gifts? Well, it leads into 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to talk about love. Gifts that support love. And that's why when those two questions about prophecy and tongues are pitted against each other, which one serves the body? What's not about you? So he ranks that above tongues. But that discussion, he wants to expand it. That's why he's not naming, right, a particular gift here. He says, I will show you a more excellent way. Now, back in the early church, it wasn't called Christianity. They weren't called Christian. They were called the way, right? So when he's talking about a still more excellent way, I mean, it's almost like the very definition of the movement. It's the very definition of who we are, right? This excellent way. And that's kind of, right, fits right there, right, with, you know, the greatest commandment. I mean, like, that's the point that Christ is drilling in, and people keep honing in and, like, majoring in the minors, right, getting really down into the weeds and forgetting the big picture. All right, before we continue, let's just watch this video, and we'll talk about it.
I hope none of you can relate. At a 1.7 grade point average, I was sitting in my mother's beauty shop. They still call it beauty shop now? What they call it now? Yeah, I was sitting in the beauty parlor. I was sitting in my mother's beauty parlor, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I see behind me this woman under the dryer. And every time she looked up, she was looking at me, just looking me in the eye. And I didn't know who she was, and I said, you know, she said, somebody give me a pen. Give me a pencil. I have a prophecy. March 27, 1975. She said, boy, you are going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Now, mind you, I was flunked out of college. I'm thinking about joining the army. I didn't know what I was going to do. And she's telling me I'm going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Well, I have traveled the world. And I have spoke to millions of people. But that's not the most important thing, the success that I had. The most important thing is that what she taught me and what she told me that day has stayed with me since. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. Fail big. That's right. Fail big. You only live once. So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances professionally. Don't be afraid to fail. There's an old IQ test was 9 dots, and you had to draw 5 lines with a pencil within these 9 dots without lifting the pencil. The only way to do it was to go outside the box. So don't be afraid to go outside the box. Don't be afraid to think outside the box. Don't be afraid to fail big, to dream big. But remember, dreams without goals are just dreams, and they ultimately fuel disappointment. So have dreams, but have goals. Life goals, yearly goals, monthly goals, daily goals. I try to give myself a goal every day. And understand that to achieve these goals, you must apply discipline and consistency. You have to work at it every day. You have to plan every day. You've heard the saying, we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan. Hard work works. Working really hard is what successful people do. And in this text, tweet, twerk world that you've grown up in, remember, just because you're doing a lot more doesn't mean you're getting a lot more done.
All right, good word from my man Denzel. There is, as we, you know, look at and dive into, right, even just this idea, I mean, if coming together of a people, coming together of a people is nothing but a dream. The gospel is but a big fat dream. That's all it is for, and it's just sad. It's a sad dream for a lot of people. It's sad because, I mean, it's why he came and it's why he died. You know, I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're here, like, you know, we're all gathered, right? Because we believe in the gospel. It's what centers us. You know, but like, if you don't think about it, if it's not a goal for you, if that dream isn't, you know, translating into, man, like, you know, like practical means by which, you know, you know, why do you think we have membership? Why do you think we have growth group? Why do you, you know, like, they're all means. They're goals. They're not the end. They're just goals, right? The means to the end, which is, you know, so the better connected, you know, better oneness. And we're kind of striving. But here's the thing. Like, if you have checked out, if you've drawn these boundaries a lot further than what Christ meant, for their reason for why he came and why he suffered and died, right? Let's read 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. There are two words here, right? Sometimes because they're different in English, but in Greek, right? The word for gift is actually charismata. And so charismatata, where you get charismatic, right? And the word for grace is charis. So the very nature of gift, right, is the idea of grace. But the purpose of the gift, right, is that it's on loan, right? It's on loan so that we can be good stewards of what? God's very grace. I actually recently heard a statistics, right? It's a survey of millennials, right? When they survey millennials, 80% of millennials, right, their dream is to grow up and get rich. That's, you know, 80%. And more than half of millennials not only want to be rich, but they want to be famous. YouTube stars, right? Blog stars. I mean, you know, they just want to be famous. Like, that's their goal. That's what they're going to work towards. Let's continue to read. As one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So, in the way that we are served, right, in the way that we receive grace, right, in all the ways, right, that we're moving out, we're doing it in the strength that God provides. Right? But that's what glorifying means, and all for the purpose of what? Connecting, right? Serving one another. Stewards. It's not for me. They're not for God either. Right? God didn't give you gifts. God didn't give you the Sabbath for Him. God gave Sabbath for you. God gave us gifts for one another, right? We're not using it because God needs our help. Romans 12, verse 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, right? Nowhere does it say it's effortless. It is hard work, right? To realize the dream of the gospel, right? The whole idea, the idea of the gospel, right? It's a lot of work. I mean, that's why James says, right? Faith without works is dead. But it's the kind of work that drives cheerfulness. Right? It's the kind of work that you have zeal and generosity, right? That requires faith. And the difference between a member and a unit, right? It says we're one body in Christ and individually members one of another. That means there's variation. A unit is something of the same kind. And if you survey the church, like people... You know, I mean, because we all have our prejudices. If I ask you, you know, what kind of gifts do you want? You know, I mean, I think when I was in college, everybody wanted to be a praise leader. I don't know why, right? Everybody wanted to, you know, sing and, you know, and I have people, I mean, I knew people, you know, that if they couldn't lead praise, you know, in the church, they would just do their own YouTube thing. I mean, it's... For whatever reason, right, we have a prejudice about, you know, what we want to be, right? Like, I want to be rich, I want to be famous, I want gifts that I want, right? And a lot of that is fuel. But we're not content. Maybe you're like a pinky toe. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's like we identify not with the collective. That's really the take home here, right? It's just like, man, because if the church is not functioning in love, it's not because of the pastor. It's not because of the praise team. It's because we, you know, like most reactions, right? Like most reactions, like, well, a lot of reactions, right? And if you've ever taken chemistry, how many of you know the word catalyst? Okay? A catalyst is a chemical or a protein. It just depends on, you know, if you're in biology or chemistry. But it's something that doesn't get used up in a reaction. But you need it. If you don't have it, it could take like 1,000 years for that reaction to go. But if you have catalysts, it goes like that. And there's just people in the church who are catalysts for the coming together of one another. Right? I can think of a couple just at the top of my head. And they're like the, you know, they're like the catalyst for oneness. I mean, it's not a position. It's not an office. I promise you, without those people, man, it's hard for the church. I mean, it's hard for the church to grow in love. I mean, but do you have an eye for that? Do you appreciate that? No, you don't. Right? Is it tough to be that person? Does anybody go and thank them? No. Right? But it doesn't go without that. And the thing about it is, it's the same thing at work, right? But here's the thing. God calls upon all of us to be that catalyst and the church to be that catalyst in our community, right? You know, it's always that when you get to a party, you get to a gathering, it's always going to be somebody else's job to talk to that new person. Are you that person? Do you connect other people to that person? Do you see that as your, you know, goal in life? But that's a role, right? But it's not somebody else's role. Now, we're all called, right, towards hospitality and service. And, you know, no matter, you know, if we have, we're self-confident about doing that, whether we, whatever we believe about ourselves, here's the big thing. All believers have received grace. And grace comes through humility. And sometimes, if you want more grace, right, here's the thing, like sometimes you have to step out in faith. Humble yourself. Crash and burn a few times. Wow, that was really awkward. I've had those, you know, invite people over, right? Try to be loving, try to like put yourself out there and leave. And it's like, you know, and it just feels so icy cold when you, you know, when they left. You know, you just, you know, it's kind of a crash and burn. Man, you do that. That's our lives. Second Corinthians 2:12-8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For I am weak, then I am strong. The one thing that it took me a while, like even just, you know, just being a father, being a parent, to really see and identify, right, the weaknesses even in my children, right, and realize when they were very, very young, right, that they were just actually the potential for God to demonstrate his power, right, and that without them, right, nothing is perfected, right, without weakness. God does not perfect in our strength. He perfects in our weaknesses. And so every one of us, right, should have, if you call yourself a believer, they're just areas, you're just weak. And you need the help of other people, and you need the help of God. And we want to pretend like we're really not all that weak, you know? And we don't, like, do you need people? Do you need each other? Here's the thing. Like, we should be at a point in our lives where we're beginning to understand where we need help. If you've carved out, like, an independence, like, you don't really need other people, you're kind of self-sufficient, you're not on the mission. You know what I mean? And here's what I'm saying. You know, I played, soccer in high school. But I also played like these indoor club soccers. I've also played like 2-on-2s and 3-on-3s and, you know, and, you know, but, you know, I don't play soccer by myself, right? It's not, I mean, you can juggle the ball. I hated, you know, juggling and things like that. But, man, you get a red card when you're playing outdoor soccer and like one person's missing. Man, you feel that. Now, if you're not playing outdoor soccer and you're playing indoor soccer and you don't need 11 people, so what if you're down to 10? Think about it is, if you're not in need, the point is you're not playing. You didn't suit up. Because if you're suiting up, everybody is necessary. If we're on a mission, right, then you're necessary. And it's not, you know, in the way that we think. And the thing is, I don't know if you've ever planned for anything, right? I don't know if you've ever, you know, planned for a party or, you know, an event, you know. One thing that always surprised me is how things come together at the very end. And you realize, wow, like, I didn't even plan for that. Like, things were going bad, and then all of a sudden, in the end, it just comes together. Like, or, you know, like, there's all these people that stepped up or whatever. Like, you're the event coordinator, and you don't have faith for anybody, you know, maybe except a couple of strong people. But you realize everybody has to do their part for that event to come together. And then you don't have a lot of faith for it. Like, one's, like, really lackadaisical. And then you're, like, really angry at them. And, you know, they're not doing their part. And then all of a sudden, like, it all just comes together. And you realize, wow, I thought ill of that person and I shouldn't have. If you're on a mission, a team mission, then every member of that team is essential. If you're not on a mission, and you're not training for a mission, you're like, whatever. If you, you know, having been in the military, right? Key and critical, right? When you're on a mission, you need everybody. You know, when I was in Afghanistan, you know, and I had guys who didn't want to leave the compound because they were scared. Get that. Need you to leave the compound. We'll have very difficult discussion because I need you. I need you to be right there, cover me down, because, you know, we're in a dangerous territory. It's not like, well, if you want to, you know, it's up to you. It's your choice. We don't have those discussions. I had really hard, difficult, severe discussions with, you know, service members who are, you know, much older than I am. And I've been talked to by younger people, right? And because we're on a mission, man, we got to get this. It's not time to play around, right? People die. You're not careful. If your eye's not on, you're not going to notice, right? The IED, or you're not going to, you know, like, I need you to be vigilant. I need you to be scanning. I need you to be in the car. I need, you know, I'm not going to be driving around by myself. I could, but I need you. If part of the reason for why your gifts are not being discovered and why you don't feel essential, let's just be honest, right? That is a failure on my part and on Robert's part, right? Not to make the mission clear. Everybody. And it begins with us. But I promise you, right? Right? The mission that we have, the mission of oneness. I think I was sharing with some of you. You know, I had my friend, you know, some of you met him. A couple families from his, you know, mission team. You know, left over, you know, just visionary differences and, you know, just conflicts and whatnot. But here's the thing, folks. Like, togetherness, right? Oneness, right? That's the mission. That's the mission. How we work through that, there's nothing greater, more important than reconciling and coming together in oneness. That's the mission. The ministry is not the mission. The goal of the gospel is oneness. And all of the activities and everything that's going on supporting that to include gifts. And Paul wants to make sure, like, you're thinking about this all wrong. You're honing in on what's better and what's greater, and, you know, and he's like, man, you don't get it. That's just these are all means to the purpose. You're majoring in the minors. Take a look at this picture. Okay. It's probably not obvious, okay? Those are the pictures in the DC area, and I'll be honest with you, it was very difficult to find these, right? They have the lowest Yelp ratings on Yelp, and these are the pictures from those restaurants, right? Like, the one that shamefully, you know, I think some Korean dude runs that dumpling food truck, right? It's called Yumplings. Like, it's the only rating that I've seen with 2 stars. I couldn't get anything lower than that. Like, and the other ones were 2.5 stars, right? One is a fancy restaurant. But here's the thing. Every one of those 4 stars right? It all has to do with the quality of food. Everybody was talking about those dumplings or these dumplings. I'm like, I've had better, right? Just taking frozen dumplings. And turns out, he admitted to one of the customers that, yeah, these are frozen dumplings, but they're probably like the cheapest and the most grotesque kind. He just serves it. And in the place he sells it, I think they're all like new customers all the time kind of thing. So he probably doesn't care. 2 stars, right? That pizza place, right? I mean, it was like dry and hard and gross. And even had like wire from a sponge thing in there. And I mean, it was just like, I can't believe like, and I don't have the comments here, but, you know, they should be arrested for attempted murder. I mean, it was pretty passionate about how they hated it. But it was still 2.5 stars, right? But Yelp, I don't think lists the 1 stars for some reason. I think, you know, because they probably go out of business, right? Next. These are pictures from the best dive restaurants in the United States, right? And the one on the very left is Bob and Peps, Bub and Pops. All right. But these are the most, you know, the best dive restaurants, right? And when you go and you look at the place, it's, you know, it's a dive, right? And but here's the deal. If you're going to be a restaurant, number one, you got to have good food. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't compensate for having bad food with ambiance, right? If you're going to be a bad restaurant, right, you're a bad restaurant because you got bad food. If you have bad ambiance but you have great food, you're called a dive, right? And people will come to you, right, from afar. The church, it's about love. That's our thing. People come to church, right? And we're serving up love, right? In order to serve up love, you have to have correct doctrine. You have to have truth. But if you have all of that and you're still not serving up love, it's just ambiance. Just ambiance. Doesn't matter. You know, if we're training up our children, whatever you're training up to be, if they don't have love, it's useless. It's pointless. Not to understand, right, that as we move out of here, right, go to college or, you know, as you get older and retire, you're still serving up love. And if you want to serve up love, man, in a way that lights up the community, you got to join the church. Join the church that wants to serve up love. In a way, right, that does it with gladness, cheerfulness, in the strength that God provides, right? Not to lord it over people. And so Paul says that in 1 Timothy. He says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they're saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Like, I'm a teacher. I have PhDs and, you know, I'm an elder, got lots of money, paid for that program, built the basketball court, right? I've got lots of good music equipment. Paul's like, look, the charge is, has always have been, and always will be, love. Like, everything else serves that. God gave you gifts to serve that. Right? And they're focused on the gift, not knowing, right? It's really about the gift giver and oneness. John 17, right? Prelude to the crucifixion. I read it on numerous occasions. Glad to do it again. I do not ask for these only. This is now Christ's prayer to his Father. But also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. How are we going to preach the gospel? Well, through words, right? It says that right there, right? Through their word, right? They're going to believe through their word, right? But the oneness, that's how they know they're going to be authentic and genuine. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. How is the world going to know? What's the mission? You take a team, man, you love one another and bring people into that. That's the formula. Seriously, that's the church plant formula. I don't care if it's here or overseas. That's the formula. And you know what? People that are very close to me who are out there in the mission field, you know where it breaks down? Whether it was in Tanzania or Thailand, where it breaks down is how they do the one anothering. It's tough. It's tough. But you know what? Man, is it good. I mean, that's why we're here. Like, why are you here? What? How do we raise our children? It's so confusing. There's so much literature. There's so many books. No, there's just like one thing, actually. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And how do people know that this is for real? Well, I go to church, and it's kind of like, you know, my neighborhood. Okay, well, you know. Now, how are they going to know? Because it's different, right? Man, we care for each other, right? Nobody goes hungry, right? You know, when somebody's, you know, like we're really happy for somebody, if they need help, then we're going to all come together, we're going to help. Like, that's it. That which you have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. You ever feel incomplete? You know, when you watch Jerry Maguire, right? You complete me, you know? Like, you know, he's like, oh man, that melts my heart, you know? I mean, like, in some measure, like, that's real. I mean, that's what John is saying. And our joy is complete when the gospel is complete. John says, right, it's not enough that I have fellowship with, right, God. It's not enough. It's complete when I have fellowship with one another. That's when it's complete. There is no such thing as I have fellowship with God. And I don't go to church, you know, it's my family, and, you know, like, there's no such thing. Like, you'll feel incomplete till the day you die. I mean, unless scripture is not complete. It is the way God has designed, right? It is the very purpose for why we're here. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, right? Not the gift of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's like this sign that he's been there, you know what I mean? Like, oh, the Holy Spirit has been there. And he's been there when there's love and there's joy. Like, these are like the first two things, right? But that's exactly what we read. I mean, like, the gifts of the Spirit, right, should leave the evidence of love. When you have fellowship, when you go out of your way to bring somebody in, right? Because that's what John is talking about. Like, have fellowship with us, because our fellowship with this is with the Father. And it's like, come, like, just be part of us. Like that, and then joy is complete. That's exactly what Galatians is saying. Like, there's evidence, right, in that excellent way. I will show you a more excellent way. That is the excellent way. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Right? It ties it all together. So here's really what we're saying. If you like are not sure where your gifts are, that's okay. Right? Because faith allows us, it says, right, even prophecy, like, hey, in proportion to your faith, right? Wherever we are at, if your goal is love, I promise you, your gifts will be evident. Because you have tried it all. I'm just being, you know, like, oh, let me try to do, you know, a gift of teaching. Like, you crash and burn. Well, maybe it's not that. You know, like you'll like, I've had plenty of people, you know, when I was going to a charismatic church, you know, like come out, you know, they'll get to the mic and they'll say some stupid thing. It's like a prophetic word. And people were like, hey, you know, and it's like, okay, sit down, please. And you've done it like the last five times and it didn't encourage anybody, you know, and you're like, okay, you know, maybe that's not my gift, you know, and the pastor's like, you know, stop giving them the mic. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, you know, because I, you know. You know, I've been there myself. You know, I have a word for the church. You know, like I'll step up to the mic and I'll whisper to the pastor. And he's like, he waves me off. You know, I had a, you know, and my friend, he was always, you know, he thought he was a self-proclaimed prophet, you know, or, you know, had the prophetic gift. And, man, he would just always get waved off, right? I mean, I was like, Charlie's like, he's always complaining that he's always getting waved off. I was like, dude. Listen, you're always getting waved off, you know? Maybe that's not your thing, you know what I mean? You know? But the point is, right, is it, the one thing I loved about my friend, and you've met him, you know, man, he'll try anything, you know? He'll try anything for the glory of God. You know, you have not because you ask not. If your goal, not the dream, but if the dream is shaping out into a goal, if your goal is love, so you know, like next year, really, I want to grow in this. You know, I want to be more forgiving. I want to just, you know, just be more merciful. I want to grow in that. And if we do, you know, well, let me try these things. I don't know. I mean, you know, like, you know, I don't know. My wife does the dishes, but let me try to do this, or you know, maybe cleaning the room, or you know, if you're a child, then let me do this, you know, and let's just see where this goes, you know, because here's the thing: God is so eager to give people gifts to make the body one, and He is more interested in gifting you than you are gifting yourself. It's true. I mean, you have to think. I mean, God, you know, sent His Son, so He died, you know, so we all could be one. And, you know, why would He not, in critical places, for critical functions, why would He not gift somebody to be that catalyst, right? To be that encourager, right? To acts of mercy, right? Generosity. Why would He not, why would He hold that back? Unless, the only thing I really want to do is I want to do that. You know? I mean, that's where my gifting is. You know? Well, yeah, I mean, that may be a gifting and, you know, people don't realize it yet. You know? But, man, it doesn't mean it's the only gifting God's going to give you. If your goal is love, God's ready to pour out. What does it feel like to give generously? What does it feel like to dole out mercy cheerfully? And you want to be that person? God is more than willing to help you. Here's the thing. I mean, it's like the step of faith is getting there. Like, say, God, I do want to grow in that. Like, I don't want to waste my life here on earth. Like, I want to be the best liver I can be. I want to exhort people. You know, I just want to, you know, because the word exhortation, parakaleo, I think, you know, I talked about this before. It's coming alongside the call. That's what an exhortation is. You're coming alongside people in their time of need and suffering, and you know, in their time of pain. You're just coming alongside them and saying, hey, like, you know, hey, you know, be of good cheer. You know, if anything, just to listen, you know. You know, your exhortation might be, wow, that must hurt. You know, that might be it. You don't have to be wise, right? You just visited them. Honestly, a friend of mine, you know, his daughter, right before Thanksgiving, committed suicide. You know, we traveled there and came back, you know, early Thanksgiving or, you know. We didn't talk about anything. I was just there. What can you say? You know what I mean? What can you say? You know, it just, it was important for us just to be there. I love you, you know. I can't imagine the pain you're in. And, you know, we just received the card. Say, man, it's really important that you were there, you know. You and Alan just being there. Right? It's comforting. That's all it is sometimes, you know. Sometimes you just don't have words. And but the goal, right, of our faith is love. That's why it's like the greatest commandment, right? It's not an individual thing, right? It's just that you know, if you don't know your gifts, you know, sometimes you think that, oh, it's such a mystery. You know, had I known, then I would have moved out in it. It's actually the other way around. If your goal becomes love, right? If you take hold of the gospel of oneness, right? And you move out and you set your goals and your sights on that, right? You will know your gifts. But if that's not your goal, if they're not in your sights, then you won't know your gift. You won't know what it's like to, you know, give mercy with cheerfulness and serve in the strength that he provides. You know, give generously, gladly. But if your goal is that, man, we can grow, right? We can grow. And so as a church, you know, we're on a mission. The mission itself is oneness, right? The mission is to bring people into that so that they have something genuine and authentic, so that not only do they get the dream of the gospel, okay, when they die, they get the gospel. Right? And thus completing our joy. Let's pray. God, everybody here, God, is essential and critical to the mission at hand. God, and love is that mission. Oneness, God, is our purpose. And I just pray, God, that just as we come, just wrap up 2017. God, that you would just help us, God. That we would be resolved, set love as our aim, God, and hear your charge of love for one another and for the people, God, in our lives. So that we would be practical, God, that we would be inviting, that we would be coming alongside, that we would give and serve. Be generous and cheerful. And so, God, help us, God. God, we love you. God, we know you love us. And so, help us to see, God, with new eyes, God, especially our weaknesses, our circumstances. God, that you mean to perfect, God, everything, God, in weakness. So that you would demonstrate your power, God, in our difficulties and hardships and suffering. God, come alive, God, as we set our sights on you. In Jesus' name.